Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Punch TV Network has, to take a phrase from Frank Sinatra's classic hit That's Life, been up and down and over and out. Now the channel with a diversity-centric programming format is rising again, multicast manner. Chief Executive Officer Joseph Collins joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. When Richard Speake Jr. and Rob Bezick are not showing up on the CW's long-running drama Supernatural, they're doing their own series thing. Kings of Con, now on Comic-Con HQ. They'll come aboard our thing later this hour. And TV1 begins its run of new 2017 series tomorrow night with The Game of Dating, hosted by Tony Rock. Yes, that's Chris Rock's brother. Key TV1 executive D'Angelo Proctor and game show runner Brian Buskowski drop by next hour. Also on deck, TV winners by the Screen Actors Guild, and our first classic trivia question winner of the year. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Delighted you are with us for jam-packed edition of the program All About Television. First of three episodes we are doing this week to wrap up January and kick February in. We're delighted to have you aboard, and if you have a question or comment for any of our guests over the next 90 minutes, give us a ring. As a matter of fact, a lot of people are already on the line, and we will get to them shortly. The number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We also have our chat room going, Simon Apple 04 Radio. A bunch of people already in the room, so use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. Welcome guests 337, 311, 324, 362, and others are about to join us as well. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Blog Talk Radio screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Joseph Collins will be live with us from Los Angeles after these news notes. Mozart in the Jungle will go into a fourth season on Amazon this fall. The company studio's division also raised the green flag for a third final season for Dramedy Red Oaks, also this fall. Amazon says Red's producers wanted to end their creation after three seasons. Tyler Perry will launch at least one new television series next year, The Pains, on the Oprah Winfrey Network. It will be a comedy spinoff of Perry's House of Pain TBS and syndicated series, headed by House co-stars LaVon Davis and Cassie Davis. Also, Perry will also wrap up the popular home series Love Thy Neighbor and For Better or Worse this spring and summer, respectively. Love's final comedy season begins March 4th, while 4 goes forward June 10th. Jane the Virgin star Gia Rodriguez has a new television deal with CBS Television Studios. The agreement covers broadcast, cable, and other platform projects, starting the adaptation of German series Dr. Illegal. Rodriguez recently formed I Can and I Will Productions and will continue as Jane for a fourth season on the CW. And breaking news in the last half hour, So You Think You Can Dance will be back for season 14 this summer on Fox, again produced by Dick Clark Productions. In our next half hour, we'll have a recap of the Screen Actors Guild Television Awards that were simulcast last night on TBS and TNT. And that is news notes for today. Right now, joining us live from Los Angeles, the Chief Executive Officer of Punch TV, Joe Collins. Joe, great to have you back.
Good to be on your show again. Good to be. Joseph, please. Joseph Collins, good to be on your show, please.
Absolutely, Joseph. Same here. Joseph, it looks like your network is rising from the ashes like a phoenix. So what's been responsible for that?
Well, we established the Punch TV studios, and the Punch TV studios had qualified under Regulation A to be able to sell stock in our company at $1 a share. So we've had a huge infuse of capital from investors from all over the country, and it's really now positioned us to be able to really begin to grow the company and do it from a long-term basis. So it's been pretty exciting, very, very exciting. And we've been making a lot of strategic moves, and those moves seem to be paying off for us.
One of those moves, Joseph, seems to be multicast, where you are on in various cities on the digital subcarrier of a television station, and the signal is also available on cable systems in the area. Right now, you are in 6 markets, including Columbus, Ohio. You just got on in Houston, Texas. You're on Mobile, Alabama, several parts in Florida. How is it going in terms of getting the network on this way?
This way it's a lot better because we have a lot more experience now in actually launching the network, and we've been launching the stations on a market-by-market basis. So this time it's been a lot better. And then the network is not the key focus of the company now. The key focus of the company is the development of content for license to TV networks and television stations and video platforms all over the world. That is our key business model. And then the network also gives us an opportunity to test programming now to also generate revenues for the company and also position the company to really do some great things in the very near future.
Now, all along, Punch has been a network all about diversity. Diversity in content, diversity in people of color, getting involved both in front of and behind the camera. What has happened since the network has gone on multicast? Have you commissioned original shows? What kind of shows are going on? What kind of format is happening in terms of original content?
Well, right now, we've always been privy to original content. We still run a lot of original shows, a lot of original movies. But after we close out the IPO, we feel like that's going to really position us now to really build out our platforms and really develop new shows. According to our business model, once the IPO is closed out, we plan and intend to develop over 300 new movies over a three-and-a-half-year period, which should allow us to generate roughly $1 billion in annual revenue for the company. So we're very excited about the position that the company is in right now as to prior to when we started.
And what about original series, both scripted and unscripted?
Well, one of our original series that is scripted that we're working on right now is Swinging in Lorraine. It's a pretty good show, and that's we're really excited about that show. We think that show is going to have legs for us. Another show that's scripted but slightly unscripted is Hollywood Punch Report. As a matter of fact, we're working right now to cut 100 episodes of Hollywood Punch Report right now in our editing, and so we're pretty excited about the prospects of that right now.
Mm-hmm. How does the IPO work out? It comes across to me like it's part IPO, but it's also part a very unusual application of equity crowdfunding, which is something we're talking about a lot on this program over the last couple of years. It finally went into effect last year because of the Securities and Exchange Act, the Jobs Act under President Obama. How does the IPO work?
For us, it's worked out very well. We're really excited about what we're doing, and it's done very well for us. The community at large is a part of what we're doing. They are excited for Punch, and they're excited about having opportunity to be a part of an IPO, which most African Americans across the nation are left out of being a part of capital markets at a level where they can really participate. And so we're really happy that we're able to bring this to our community across the nation, and I'm more happy that the community across the nation is embracing it.
Joseph Collins, the Chief Executive Officer of Punch TV Network, which is now available in multicast form on cities around the country, including Jacksonville, Pensacola, Florida, and Houston, Texas. He's our guest this half hour live from Los Angeles on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Appleman with you live from the other coast of New York. 36-3 at the top of the hour here. If you have a question or comment, get the phone going. 646-652-2096. A lot of people are on the phone lines. We will get to you shortly. And we have our chat room going as well. Simon Apple 04 by name. A lot of people in the room, and we do appreciate that. Coming up Wednesday on our special edition that day of Tomorrow Be Televised, my lead guest will be from 24 and 24 Legacy, which means it's Sunday on Fox at the Super Bowl, executive producer Manny Coto. Manny Coto will be my lead guest Wednesday, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. We'll also showcase a PBS program that is premiering that night. It's called Spy in the Wild. It may be the most groundbreaking nature documentary in the last couple of decades. Why? Because it's a very unusual production process, and we will talk to the people who made that production process happen. Live from England, we'll have Philip Dalton and Matt Gordon from the new Nature miniseries on PBS, Spy in the Wild, premiering Wednesday night. That's all coming up Wednesday, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We're going to take as many calls as we can, so make sure you tell us who your name are and so on and so forth. Here we go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. All right, let's try another line and see if we have someone. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, no, they don't want to talk.
I'm sure they do. They may be a little bit surprised. Let's see. Let's try another line and see what's popping up. All right, here we go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Jadeen, and I'm from New York.
Gigi, welcome aboard. You're on the line with Joe Collins or Joseph Collins from Punch TV. Go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, we can
yes,
hear you.
Yes, I am. You're on the air. And he can hear you, too. Oh, Gigi, call back. Glad to have you on. Apparently something just popped, and let's try it again. Let's go to another line in the meantime. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where you're calling from? Hello, you're on the air. I'll try one more line. Apparently, we're having some, maybe a technical issue with the line, if so, we apologize. Let's see what we've got here. All right, here we go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you are on. What's your name?
Hey, my name is Brad.
Brad, where are you calling from?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Brad, it's great to have you on, and you're on with Joseph Collins of Punch TV. Go ahead.
I got a tweet that Richard Speight and Rob Benedict are on there.
Oh, from Rob Benedict. You're calling for the folks at Supernatural. Okay, from their show, Kings of Con. Okay, they're coming up on our next half hour. So hang on the line, and we'll get you aboard, okay?
All right. Cool, thanks.
Great. You're very welcome. And we'll hopefully get him on when those folks are going on. In the meantime, Joseph, let's go back to you. How fast are the multicast stations coming online?
Right now we're bringing them on methodically. So in the last quarter we launched 3. So that's pretty aggressively. We're doing it pretty aggressive. So that's pretty good. But more importantly that I would like to really talk about is the IPO and how people can be a part of the IPO and how we intend to do programming that can shape and reshape the way that people watch television. And I think that that's very important to us and for us. And I would love for people to visit our website at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com. Check out what we're doing. We're doing some really, really, really amazing things. So it's just super exciting. Super.
And I believe it's what? You get into this IPO just for a dollar.
You get in for a dollar per share. Yes, absolutely.
What kind of feedback have you had from investors about this? This is highly radical.
It's very radical. Yes, it is. It's very radical. However, a lot of people across the country are embracing it and have embraced it. I mean, we literally have thousands of investors now who are investing and they're believing in the vision that we have for the company. And it's just super duper excited. I'm excited and I'm sure that the investors that we have on board are very excited. We get calls all the time. This is something I've always wanted to do. My mother had a chance to buy this. My father had a chance to invest in something, but they never did. And I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity. We get that so much from the good folks in our community. Until it's just awesome. It's really awesome.
All right, Joseph, my understanding, we have a lot of callers that are coming in for our next segment, which will be in the next half hour, where we have live from Los Angeles the folks of Supernatural. That's Richard Speight Jr. and Rob Benedict. They have a show that's now on Comic-Con HQ, which you can get on smart TV sets and smart devices from Lionsgate. And they have a show that's been on called Kings of Con. Looks like it may go into a second season. We'll find out from them. That'll be in our next half hour. So if you're calling in for that, hang in there. In the meantime, if you're calling in for on Punch TV, let's see if we can get you aboard. And if not, if you can't get in on the phone line, use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. Let's see if this is a call for you, Joseph. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. All right, seems like the ha-ha-ha person. Okay, let me see if we have another call. We'll try it again. And again, if those of you are calling for Joseph, you're not able to get through, use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it again at blogtalkradio.com/televise. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay, great. As I said, for those of you that are calling in for our next half-hour segment, stay on the line or call back in a bit. We will definitely try to get you on. Again, everyone else, chat room for Joseph, get that in at SimonApple04 by name. We do appreciate it, okay? We appreciate all the interest in today's show. Very, very nice. It's definitely our most called-in and chat-roomed-in show so far this year. We appreciate it. For those of you that are calling, you know, being with us for the first time, we hope you make it a regular habit. We are here Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. A lot of great guests covering the world of television. And we'd love to make us the don't make us a one-time shot. Make us a regular habit. That'd be great. What kind of interest are you now getting, Joseph, from the content community? Are you hearing from production companies, the studios? Is it all going to be from independents? Where is the content coming from? One of the things
that we're doing now is after the close of the IPO, we're actually funding projects now up to $100,000 per project. So we're funding indie movies and small budget movies that have good storylines up to $100,000. And we've already started getting people in, sending their scripts and doing those old kinds of things like that. And that part has been just like really, really cool. Although our core focus right now is on closing out the IPO and really having an investor base that understands what we're doing, that believes in the direction that we're going, and we're making it happen and come together. And that's just really cool, really cool.
And when will the IPO close out?
We're anticipated to close on April 3rd of 2017. So April 3rd, 2017, that's what we're looking at this moment. And I think it's and people are investing right now from all over the country, and the community is investing right now from all over the country, and it's just awesome. It's really, really cool to see communities come together that say, you know what, we want to have great family programming for our children, we want to create new jobs for our community, we want to tell stories that ordinarily never would be told. And the communities are coming together now, and they are embracing this whole idea, this whole movement that's Punch TV Studios. And it's just pretty cool to see them come together, to see the embrace, to see churches begin to invest as church groups and organizations begin to invest as organizations, and individuals are investing a dollar a share as individuals. And it's pretty cool. And I'm loving it right now. I'm really loving it.
What kind of stories do you want to tell that are not being told these days on television?
Sure. So there's wonderful stories. Many of us know about Aretha Franklin. She's one of the greatest soul singers ever. You know, well, her father was a phenomenal preacher who had a tremendous impact on African-American, on churches in African-America, on churches across America in the African-American community. And I just think that that's a story that needs to be told. People need to know what this guy did. There's a really huge black ship builder who built ships, but everybody thinks he builds these huge ships for the government, but he's like the only African-American doing that. And to see that come together and to see how that's positioned and what he had to do to bring that to pass are stories that we want to tell. I mean, there's just so many phenomenal stories that we want to tell. I'm thinking of a homeless story of a little girl who was homeless. Her and her mother were homeless, and they got a chance to get into a program. And the little girl really took charge to make sure that by the end of the program that they were able to get a place. So these are the kinds of stories that are encouraging and inspirational and are inspiring to people that we believe will really help other people who are going through changes in their lives, and this will help them make it. This will help them encourage their life. This will bring about a revolution in their lives by seeing somebody else who's going through something similar to what they may be going through and how they came out on the other side. And that is the core of what we're trying to do and what we're working on at Punch TV Studios.
Joseph Collins, the Chief Executive Officer of Punch TV, is our guest this half hour live from Los Angeles on Tomorrow Televised, the program all about the tube. Simon Apple down with you live from New York. Delighted to go with us on this final January Monday of 2017. You have a question or comment for Joseph, Make the phone happen, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name is welcome, Ariel Arendor, I believe that person is, in the room. So if you can't get through on the phone, use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Monday on our program, among our guests, we will have one of the executive producers and writers of the new Comedy Central comedy series, The Schroeders. It's about some folks who want to make it in that car city, USA. Zach Keenan is what we're talking about, and he will be with us live. That's a week from today, February 6th, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Joseph, since last year's Oscars and the whole Oscars So Black campaign, we've seen a number of different ventures come about to try to encourage more people of color to get in the industry, whether in front of or behind the camera. We for She, We Did It Together, the Alice Institute, the Women in Film Project with the Blacklist, Rose McGowan's Presenting Women here in New York, the main New York Writers' Room, which will soon announce 12 individual writers or writing teams that will be paired with a showrunner of a program here in New York, from elementary to Law and Order Special Victims Unit. There's the also the project on NYC Live Channel 25 here to create two pilots done by women about women in New York City and have one of them go to a six-episode series. Are you looking at any way you could tap into those organizations or create a similar organization that would help expand inclusion in TV?
So we are very interested in working with any organization that is about creating content for the purposes of inspiring people's lives. And we are definitely interested in working with those organizations that you've mentioned and really creating opportunities. And we're funding some of the projects that those organizations may be creating. So we're definitely looking for partnerships and looking to work with groups across the nation to see how you can become a part owner of Punch TV Studios and to see how you can get funding for your project through Punch TV Studios so that we can make all these wonderful stories.
All right, I want to welcome Amy into our chat room. Thanks for coming in. You have a question or comment, put it in at SimonApple04 by name. How are you doing in terms of getting national advertising support?
Well, we are actually advertising across the country right now on radio. I think we've been, on average, we're in over 1 million homes or 2 million homes a day talking about Punch TV Studios and the urban spaces and those spaces. So it's pretty cool right now to see how people all across the nation are talking about Punch TV Studios and wanting to be involved in Punch TV Studios and wanting to make things come together for that. So it's pretty amazing, actually. It's really amazing.
What about the national advertisers, whether it's a Procter & Gamble, whether it is a Ford or BMW or General Motors, or whether it's Kraft or Heinz or Nationwide Insurance?
So for the television stations, we've decided to take the model of working with the local advertisers. So we set up two satellite offices now. We set up an office in Columbus, Ohio. We set up an office in Jacksonville, Florida, and another one in Houston, Texas, and so that we can work with the local advertisers for our TV stations until we build out the network on a larger scale. I think we'll be looking to approach those guys as the network approaches 60 million homes. Then certainly we'll start having those conversations with those kinds of companies. But right now we're focused on the local markets, and it's kind of working for us.
Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, as you get the base going, you'll finally go to the national advertiser, do an upfront event or like an event before press and so forth in New York, L.A., and so forth.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely as we get going more, we're definitely going to do another upfront for the larger advertisers, and their upfronts are really, really spectacular. But what we're excited about right now is we are preparing, right after we close the IPO, we're preparing to do our first shareholders meeting, and that's going to be so phenomenal and so awesome until you can't even believe it. It's just we're going to have thousands of people from all across the country coming to the Punch TV Studio shareholders meeting, and it's just going to be a one powerful meeting that people want to be a part of, and they'll be educated on how to make their stock work for them and how to get their stock certificates deposited and how to get all those things done. So it's pretty cool.
As a person running a television network, mm-hmm. what has pulled you through the rocky period of getting your network off the ground? Because a couple of years ago when we had you on for the first time, it looked like things were moving. Then came a lot of craziness. I'm not going to go into all the details because it's very, very complex and complicated. But what has pulled you through? What about what you see for this channel, yourself? What has pulled you through all this?
The thing that's really pulled me through all of this has really just been sheer determination to take it on the chin, to get up off the ground and dust myself off and says, okay, that way didn't work. We're going to try it another way. And I think you just got to keep trying and trying and trying until now we found success, and success is kind of following us every step of the way. But for a long time, it was a lot of failure. It was a lot of mistakes. It was a lot of things that went wrong. It was a lot of wrong people. It was a lot of wrong influences in what we were trying to do. So, but now it's just pure resistance to anything but success, and that's the whole thing. And I'm focused on success. I believe Punch TV Studios is going to be the Apple computer of television and of media. I believe that Punch TV Studios is going to be a multi-billion-dollar company if we have the right investor base. I believe that Punch TV Studios is going to tell stories that never would be told had it not been for Punch TV Studios. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to every single challenge that we have to face to bring this into reality. And that's the most important thing that has kept me going in the fight of some severe defeats.
Punch TV Network is now available in six cities across the country on broadcasting
right.
cable through the Village of Multicast. That includes Columbus, Ohio on Channel 32, Beaumont and Houston, Texas, 21 and 22 respectively, Mobile, Alabama, Channel 15, Jacksonville, Florida, and Pensacola, Florida, 18 sports, but they're all on the digital signal, or you can get it through your local cable system. For more details about the network online, both the programming and where it is available or when it will become available in your area, here's where you go, www.punchtvstudios.com. That's www.punchtvstudios.com. Joseph Collins, Chief Executive Officer of Punch, thank you again for joining us. Let's stay
thank
in touch as more of your shows get national clearance. We'd love to have those producers on the program, and we appreciate
Absolutely.
You taking the time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. All right, bye-bye.
You're welcome, Joseph. All the best. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Joseph Collins, the Chief Executive Officer of Punch TV, joining us live from Los Angeles. We'll have more tomorrow televised, including our first Classic Trivia Question winner of the year after some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Have you seen the movie Fantastic Beasts yet? Well, whether you have or you haven't, there's a great sound experience awaiting you if you get involved with Audible.com. That experience, it's the audio version of that J.K. Rowling newcomer book, and it's narrated by Oscar winner Eddie Redmayne. If you want to check it out, here's how. Get a free 30-day trial to Audible.com. And you can do it with this website, audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. So all you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. One free audiobook, Fantastic Beasts, or something you like in any category you like, and a one-month trial of service. And because Audible is from Amazon.com, you can bet the customer service is right up there and great. AudibleTrial.com/televised. Use it for a wonderful sound experience and a great gift that lasts any year and all live long. One more time, AudibleTrial.com/televised. So Audible.com and Amazon Company. And now it's time for our Classic Trivia Question of the Week feature. And for the first time this year, we have a winner. We got that winner earlier today. And that winner is Ed Barenhouse from New York, New York. The question we posed a week ago is this. Name a television series starring Anthony Franciosa. Name a television series starring Anthony Franciosa. And guess what? Ed named the first of the five series he starred in. It was one that Franciosa did in the mid-1960s, a one-year comedy at ABC called Valentine's Day. There were five answers, and the correct answers were Valentine's Day, the name of the game from NBC, that was his longest-running series lasting three seasons. Then there was Search, also on NBC, and then two NBC series in the 1980s, Matt Helm, based on the Dean Martin famous spy character in the movies, and Finder of Lost Loves for producer Aaron Spelling. Those are the answers. Again, Valentine's Day, the name of the game, Search, Matt Helm, and Finder of Lost Gloves. We'll take any of the five. Edgar Allan Poe is Valentine's Day, and he wins BritCom's FAQ, the wonderful book about British comedies, past and current, from Applause Books. Congratulations, Ed. The book is on its way to you. We'll have another classic trivia question for you on next Monday's episode. Here's the way it works for all of you joining us for the first time. We pose the question. If you know the answer, you email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you are from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you might win a prize. You never know. If you missed the question, you come in late on the program, don't worry. I post the question on Tuesday morning on my Facebook page and my own Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. So remember, check it out. We hope you do. That's next Monday, Classic Trivia Question of the Week, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. If you know the answer, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You never know what you might win. And remember, in order to be in the game, you got to play it. So play it, make it happen, and all the very best. When we come back, we will have the Screen Actors Guild winners from last night, and then we'll be joined from Los Angeles by those Supernatural co-stars Richard Spade Jr. and Rob Benedict doing Kings of Con on Comic-Con HQ. They will join us live after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are tuned to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. Join the gang for the Key of the Unplugged show today, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best to meet you on 24/7 at youtube.com. Welcome back to the Marvel Televised. Simon Apple Babble with you live from the WR, 36 degrees, top of the hour. Delighted you are with us for the show All About Television. More great guests coming your way in the hour ahead. If you have a question or comment, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is alive and well and cooking, and we've got a lot of people in the room. And it's Simon Apple 04 by name. Wonder welcome. Let's see. We have Ariel in the room. We have, I believe, Gazelle.com in the room. If guests go 286, 371, 373, big one, big chat room. And by the way, one of our people, Nothing153, that's the, I guess, his handle, but I think it worked. Wow. And the main chat works. Oh, they love the chat room. Great. Well, get ready because we have two great guests coming your way, and we will get. And we have a lot of people on the phone line already waiting for them too. So coming up shortly, we have Richard Spade Jr. and Rob Benedict from Supernatural and the Comic-Con HQ series Kings of Con. So join us live from LA. But first, our second round of news notes. Last night, Screen Actors Guild TV Awards were announced live on CBS and TNT in a simulcast, and for the most part, it was Netflix getting the honors big time. In the ensemble category, they actually swept. For comedy, Orange is the New Black, and for drama, Stranger Things. That was one of the most unexpected, but that was maybe the unexpected award of the night. Yes, Stranger Things, the ensemble award for drama. In the actor category, for comedy, it was William H. Macy for Shameless on Showtime, and for drama, John Lithgow for The Crown on Netflix. In the actress categories, for comedy, Julie Louis Dreyfus did it again for Veep, and for drama, Claire Foy in her first turn again for The Crown. And the movie miniseries category for best actor, it's actress, Sarah Paulson for American Crime Story, playing Marsha Clark in The People vs. O.J. Simpson. And in the best actor category, Bryan Cranston for All the Way, playing LBJ on HBO. And finally, in the special action performance category, the winner was Game of Thrones. Congratulations to one and all, as well as all the nominees. And again, that was carried last night on TBS and TNT. And now, joining us live from Los Angeles, the co-stars of the CW's long-running series Supernatural, which will be going into in year 13, and also the co-stars and creators of the Comic-Con HQ series, that's called Kings of Con, Richard Spade Jr. and Rob Benedict. Gentlemen, are you there?
We are here.
Hello.
Hello, Richard and Rob. Great to have you aboard. And Richard, we'll start with you, and then we're going to get right into some questions from a lot of your fans that are on our phone lines. And they've been waiting, actually, in some cases, for the last half hour. Richard, what made you and Rob decide it's time to expand your day job beyond Supernatural and do this series?
Well, Robbie and I have been doing conventions for Supernatural for a long time now, about 7 years. And that's actually how we met. We met on the convention circuit. And we realized quickly as we ended up taking the stage together a lot that we had not only sort of shared interests as people and as writers, but we had a very simpatico senses of humor. And we saw things through the same comedic lens. and thought that would be a really fun opportunity to tell the wacky stories of the convention circuit in the form of a single camera comedy. Because the truth of the matter is, as we realized on the road, the craziest people at any convention is always the actors paid to be there. And we had a bird's eye view on what those cats were up to because we were two of those cats. So we decided to make a show about it.
Mm-hmm. Rob, what did you find out for yourself and Richard about creating, about being creator, like the folks in Supernatural? Was it anything you expected, or was a lot unexpected?
Well, there's a lot of responsibility when it's your own project. Rich and I have been working in the business for a while, and we've sort of gathered secrets through the years. We've gotten to know some people who've helped us out, and we're finally in a position where we were comfortable making our own show. The work, there's a lot more work that goes into it, but it's a lot more gratifying because it's yours, it's your baby. The funny part about it though, we wrote it, we produced it, Richard directed it. And the funny part about it is, there's no one else to blame but yourself when you find yourself in a situation where you're like, who wrote this scene? And then you realize, oh, yeah, that's right, that's me. Or who can we get to fix this problem that we've got on set? Like, oh, yeah, I'm the guy. I'm the guy that has got to fix that. So, there's definitely a lot more responsibility, but the payoff was great.
Mm-hmm. Richard Aria from Minneapolis, Minnesota is in our chat room. Got a question for you. It's, what is the most awkward scene you had to film for Kings of Con? And any funny stories attached with that?
Well, for me, I mean, Robbie will have his own answer to this. For me, it was definitely doing the scene, episode, it's called Burnsville. It's episode 5. And I work out with Matt Cohen, actor Matt Cohen, and can't use my arms, which then ends up putting me on the floor totally naked with only a glass of orange juice in the foreground covering up my schwanz. And, I tell you, when you don't know a crew that well and you've got to strip down to your nothings and lay on the floor of a hotel, it starts to call into question all that you hold dear and all your principles as they go flying out the window. I had a gingerly placed tan cloth covering most of the real estate, but it didn't leave a lot to the imagination. So it was definitely a bonding moment for everyone and a tough day of work for the guy who had to come in for one day and stare at me naked on the floor.
Not to mention the cameraman.
Oh, Mark was not happy.
All right, we're going to go right to the phones. If you have a question or comment, 646-652-2906. We're going to take as many calls as we can. And once we take your call, if you can jump off so you can hear, that'd be great. Let's go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the line. What's your name? Yes, you're on.
Amber?
Amber, hi. Where are you calling from?
Houston, Texas.
Great to have you, Amber. You're on the line with Richard and Rob. Go ahead.
Hi, Rich. Hi, Rob. My name's Amber. Rob, I'm a huge fan of Loud and Swain, and you saved my life. But my question is, on episode 9, when you woke up and you found out you got married, what was your reaction? Like if that happened in real life, what would your reaction be?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the kind words. I know it's hard to imagine. I assume my reaction would be much like in the series, we would be probably a little baffled as to how this had happened and how we got so far off the rails.
I guess the good news is Robbie and I are not blackout drinkers in real life, so the odds of that happening are probably nil.
But it was fun to, experiment with that idea that these guys might have gotten too drunk and lost track of themselves and wound up somehow inexplicably married. But that was just a fun sort of idea to sort of explore.
All right. Thanks very much, Amber, from Houston, Texas. Appreciate the call. We'll take another call, and then we'll take a chat room question. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the line. Yes, hi. Welcome. What's your name? Hello, you're on.
Hello?
Yes, hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Dej from Kentucky.
Ben, it's great to meet you. Simon Applebaum from Tamami Televised. You're on the air with Richard and Rob from Kings of Con. Go ahead.
Hey, I love you, Rob, Rich. I was wondering if you could do a musical episode. How would you go about doing the musical episode for Kings of Con?
Well, that is an interesting idea. Robbie and I are bouncing around a lot of season 2 ideas, and that's one of them that we are entertaining, not committing to, per se, but thinking about. I'm not exactly sure how we'd go about it, but one thing I know for sure is we have such great musical talent in the form of Loudon Swain that we would certainly have access to some really creative songwriting and could potentially have real fun with that. So we'll see if that actually comes to pass.
And it definitely seems like the characters we've created are the kind of people that might just break into song.
All righty. We have a chat room question from John Moore. Here it is. What was the scene that took the longest to film because everybody was cracking up?
Okay, well, we get that question a lot, and we didn't have the luxury of time to make everything as relaxed as it might seem, which is good. We created the false illusion of a comfort zone. We weren't really giggling our way through the shoot, but I will tell you the most complicated scene to shoot, just from a technical standpoint, which may seem surprising, is the scene where Rob gets a styrofoam head of himself and ends up destroying it. And that was technically challenging because it was an enormous room with an enormous amount of actors in it, shot from both sides of the table and both sets of angles. So we had to move very quickly to get that story told and told right. And the result is one of my favorite scenes in the entire series. I find it hilarious. I think Kurt Fuller is just hilarious in that scene, and it's a great beat. So that was probably, just from a technical standpoint, one of our more challenging scenes.
And, you know, another scene that comes to mind where people were kind of cracking up, although there were a lot of, like, when Rich would call cut and then we'd let out the laughter. We'd, like Rich said, everyone was pretty professional and good about keeping it in. But a scene where Kent O'Grady in episode 4, he's shoveling his face with au gratin potatoes, and it's pretty grotesque. And everybody had to fight really hard to keep in the laughs.
If you have Roku or Apple TV, you can get Kings of Con on Comic-Con HQ, which is made possible in part by the wonderful folks at Lionsgate. We've got the creators and the co-stars of that series, Richard Spade Jr. and Rob Bennett. They're live from Los Angeles at Babylon Tomorrow We Tell Lies. They're also part of Supernatural, which is now its 12th season, every week on The CW. And if you have a question or comment for Richard and Rob, get it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. The questions are coming in both ways. We really appreciate it. We'll try to get to as many as we can as time allows. And I hope you'll all be coming back on Wednesday, because joining me as our lead guest for our special Wednesday edition of the program will be none other than executive producer of 24 and 24 Legacy, premiering after the Super Bowl this Sunday on Fox, Manny Cotto. Manny and some of the people of both the front row behind the camera will be here in New York tonight for a special preview screening of the first episode, and I'll be there for that, and hope to meet Manny there as well. And in addition to Manny coming up this Wednesday on our program, we'll also have the producers behind a very unique animal miniseries coming on PBS Wednesday night. It's called Spy in the Wild, and it will give you maybe the most up-close look at animals you have ever seen because of a very unique process. And we'll hear about that process live from England with producers Philip Dalton and Matt Gordon. Again, Spy in the Wild is a miniseries in the award-winning Nature program on most PBS stations Wednesday night. And that's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Join us then on Blog Talk Radio. Back to the chat room we go, and we got this question, which may be the most important question of the hour. Is there going to be a season 2? And is there anything that the fans, both in the lines of the chat room, can do to make sure it happens?
Well, Robbie and I are in the cusp, in the final throes of trying to solidify a season 2. We're very optimistic. We can't make an official announcement yet, but we're hoping to be able to do so soon. And the best way to ensure that we get a season 2 is for people to go to comicconhq.com. That's comic-conhq.com, and watch the show and have their friends watch the show, because it's all about eyeballs. The more people watch it, the more people they notice. And the more people they notice, the more they'll want to make a second season. So go watch it, make your friends watch it, go to the website, download the app, do what you got to do.
Back to the phones we go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Tell Lies. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello, you're on here. Yes, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Valerie. I'm calling from California.
Valerie, great to have you. Get on the line with Richard and Rob right now.
Okay. Hi, Richard. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
My question, sorry, I'm really nervous. I love you guys. My question is, once Supernatural ends, you know, in like 20 years, do you guys think that there will be a Kings of Con?
When Supernatural ends, by the time that happens, I'm guessing I'll be dead. I feel like the show will go to the end of time. But that will, I don't think we're going to have to wait for a Kings of or Supernatural to die to have a Kings of Con-Con. I believe there will be a Kings of Con-Con. I believe it will be royally themed. I believe Robbie and I will be heavily featured. And I believe it will happen hopefully sooner than later. So, you know, we keep doing shows, we'll have a con for it. Because Lord knows, we know a thing or two about cons.
Here's a question from our chat room. I'm going to throw in my question with it, which is this. Did you learn anything new about each other when writing or filming your series? And secondly, what have you both learned about the whole Comic-Con graphic novel convention, et cetera, scene while doing this? And by the way, we're now starting to see more Comic-Con coverage on television, in part thanks to a channel called Comet TV, which Sinclair, the largest station group of the country, is using multicast to get around the country.
You know, the first part of your question, what we learned about each other, I mean, you know, this whole process, it sort of stemmed, like Richard said earlier, it stemmed from the fact that we had a similar sense of humor, we were good friends, and, you know, if anything, it just solidified the fact that we work well together, we think very similarly when it comes to creating things and when it comes to comedy. But, you know, specifically, this is Rob talking, what I learned while we were filming was what a good director Richard was. I mean, we wrote the series together, but when it came to, we produced it together, but when it came to directing it, that's something where Richard really shines. He's a director as well. And so it was, you know, that at that point, I gave the reins to him. And I think we both probably learned sort of, you know, figuring out our positions while shooting it, and you know, just learn he's a great director, and that's not something that I necessarily aspire to be, and so I really respect that part of his art.
Well, thank you, Bobbo. And the thing I learned, kind of what Rob was saying, is Robbie and I enjoyed a similar sense of humor on stage, but it's very different to improv with somebody and to goof around with somebody off the clock to putting on your business hat and try to craft a series and get serious about the business of making comedy. And what I realized is Robbie and I think very similarly in terms of our professional approach and what we think is the right answer to the, you know, the questions of the story. I don't think there was ever a time where we didn't agree on something, meaning like if he wrote something that was the winner, you know, the best beat always won, and it was not an ego-driven process. And that was great because I think then you get your best work out of each other and you end up becoming each other's greatest allies, both when writing it and when performing it, because you know the inside secrets you're trying to get out to the audience.
And to answer the second question, I think it's remarkable how popular the whole convention industry has become, and specifically the comic convention industry and you know, the comic world in general. And I think it's wonderful that, you know, Rich and I are always saying this, the term nerd is not, it's just not accurate or applicable anymore. It's an old school term. We are all fans of something. We are all, are knowledgeable about something. And it's, I think it's great that we're living in a world now where that's celebrated, which is, you know, you can see with all these conventions, it's a pretty normal thing. So we enjoy being a part of it.
Let's take another call. Hello, you're on to Marvie Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go right ahead. What's your name?
My name is Sarah. And I'm calling
from
North Carolina.
Great
South
to have
Carolina.
You on. Go right
Columbia.
Ahead. Richard and Rob are listening to you.
I have a question. I'm sorry, I'm really nervous. If you get season 2, how many seasons would you like to film in, you know, the future? How many seasons would you like to film with Kings of Con?
Oh, gosh, Robbie and I would do this until they drag us away kicking and screaming. I mean, for us, it's sort of the penultimate achievement to be able to tell your own stories in your own voice with your buddies, which is what we did. You know, Robbie and I were able to tell the stories we wanted to tell the jokes we wanted to tell, and we brought in the talents of friends with whom we've worked and or hung out for years. It was a perfect storm for us. We had a great crew, great cast. We had great support from Comic-Con and from Lionsgate. without them really actually getting their hands too dirty with it. I mean, it was great. It was a perfect balance of their involvement and their impact in terms of, the strength of their distribution arm and their publicity without them trying to make the story something that it wasn't. They let Rob and me do what they hired us to do, which was great. So if that recipe continues, Robbie and I will keep making this show as long as they'll let us.
Richard Speed Jr. and Rob Benedict from Kings of Con on Comic-Con HQ, available on smart devices, Roku and Apple TV. They're with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And thank you all for being with us, both in the chat room and also on the phones. Thanks for staying up and being patient. Hang in there. We're trying to get to as many questions as we can before the top of the hour. So I'm Applebaum with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. Great to have you with us. We have a program all about television. We're normally with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. If you like what we're doing today, make sure you have it. Join us and check out our previous episodes. You can do that on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. We've had people from shows like One Day at a Time on Netflix. We just had Lizzie Weiss from Switched at Birth. On Wednesday, we've got live Manny Cotto from 24 and 24 Legacy, the executive producer of both those shows. I mentioned 24 Legacy premieres at the Super Bowl this Sunday night in Fox. And coming up 1 week from today on the program, among our guests, we'll have from Comedy Central's new series, The Traitors, executive producer and writer Zach Kanin. That's all coming up next Wednesday and next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can also check us out anytime on podcast. We're available on iTunes, and if you have Apple TV, you can check us out along with other Blog Talk Radio shows on the iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to your local Apple store or order it online. And if you have it up on iTunes, please feel free to take us on the go, download it to your smartphone or tablet, share it with others. We do appreciate it. And the best bet, be with us live. The show is better as you hear when you are. Let's go to another chat room question, and I'll throw something in as well. And I'll lead David to us, which is, have you already started working about season 2? And also, what themes would you like to cover in season 2 that you didn't do this time around?
Well, we have started diving into season 2 and breaking stories, and we'll see. I mean, I don't really necessarily want to touch on anything specifically because it may change as the process moves forward, but we're having a lot of fun and coming up with a lot of great ideas.
The great thing about continuing to do conventions, which we do, is that we keep amassing all these great behind-the-scenes stories. So there's lots of stories to tell that involve not only the characters of Rob and Rich, but their crazy entourage as well.
Rob, and then I'll ask Richard, and then we'll get to another call or two before we wrap. What keeps you both on Supernatural? I mean, this has been an amazing success story for the CW, 12 seasons, 13 already set to go for the fall. What has you and the stars and Eric Kripke, the executive producer and creator, what has everybody still going strong with this series? What is the spirit like?
Well, it really, it all comes down to the fan base. I mean, this is a show that that was birthed in right as social media was taking off, and the fans are able to sort of speak online in different social media platforms, and the network and the producers are listening. And this fan base for this show in particular is just unbelievable in their loyalty and devotion and love for the show, and it's really remarkable. It's kept the show going, and it's kept the writers and the producers and the actors from trying to give 100% top-notch work. I was fortunate enough to go back on the show last season, and it's just nobody's phoning it in. Everyone's still giving 110% because they know they're listening to the fans. They know how much it means to the fans, and I think that motivates us, that inspires us to make the best TV show we can.
I want to, by the way, welcome Giselle Lopez and Creative Cookie 312 or 31115 in the chat room. Let's see if we can get at least one or two more calls in, maybe another chat room call in before the top of the hour. Let's try this line. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where you calling from?
What?
Hi there, Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Me?
Lehigh, where are you from?
I'm going to go. Bye.
Oh, she panicked.
Okay, sorry.
That's
all right. Let's try another call. Hello, Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, go ahead.
Hello.
All right. Up sorry. There we go. Let me hang up 1 second. Now you're on. Okay, what's your name? Hi, go ahead. Go, go, go. Going once, twice.
Yeah, that's you. You.
I heard a laugh.
You
it's you.
All right, let's try one more. Oh. Let's see, we go. Hello, you're on Tamami Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Brianna from Tarpon, Florida.
Brianna, to have you. Go right ahead. Go with your question for Richard and Rob.
This is so nerve-wracking.
It's all right. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah. We're all friends here. Go ahead. Okay,
no,
don't worry. I'm sorry. Let me get you back on the line here. We had a little bit of a delay. All right, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes. All right, you're on.
Okay, perfect. Oh, my God. Okay, my question is, how hard was it to play an altered version of yourself? And I just want to say, Rob, I love Loud and Swing so much. And, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was actually kind of fun and freeing to do, to be honest. Many of the things that these characters do are not quite things that we would do, but, you know, they're inspired by nuggets of reality. Most of the show is completely fictional, but it was fun to do, to sort of, you know, we're blowing ourselves up. We're playing characterized versions of ourselves. So it's, we're really, you know, we're the brunt of the jokes, and it's kind of fun to do. We kind of like making fun of ourselves. It's fun for us.
Yeah, we took a page from the Louis C.K. and Larry David model, and it really enabled us to take some snippets of reality and run it through the what-if machine and come up with alternate realities that, you know, TV Rob and Rich would do that have, like, maybe a tiny toe still in reality, but are basically comedic versions of the decision-making process that Rob and I actually go through.
All right, we take one more question. It's from our chat room from Sky in Texas. And that person, Sky, is wondering, and it's the perfect one to end the segment on, what was the best friendship moment you had filming Kings of Con?
Best friendship moment? I think there's a lot that we could go through, and Robbie will probably have a different answer. But I remember there was a party that was thrown by Comic-Con HQ to sort of celebrate the launch of their platform. And at one point, Robbie and I were on the red carpet on either side of Mark Hamill. And we kind of looked at each other and thought, yep, it worked. I mean, because it's a long process from two guys in a hotel lobby talking about, hey, maybe we can make a show out of this, to shooting the teaser, to selling the teaser, to getting the money, to finding the network, to getting the crowdfunding campaign going, which we did and got the support of the fabulous Supernatural fans, to actually finding the crew, to getting the cast, to shooting the show, posting it, to getting it launched, and then find yourself on the red carpet talking about it with one of the biggest stars in the history of cinema. It was a pretty awesome place to have a knowing wink and nod with each other. Here's Robbie.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great moment. The thing that came to mind when I heard the question was when we were shooting the scene in episode 9, where sort of at the end of the marriage episode, we're having a real bro-to-bro talk, and I remember just being a really good day and felt good about the scene, and it felt like a very real moment that very well could have been taken from the page of a real Rob and Rich conversation, and there are some pictures from that day on set, too, that I felt like were very characteristic of sort of what our friendship is and what we sort of mean to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Before we think about it, Richard and Rob, I want to thank all the callers, all the chat room people who joined us for this last 25 minutes or so. If we couldn't get to your question either way, we apologize. But the important thing is to know is this is what makes a show like this work and Blog Talk Radio work, is you being involved both with your phone calls and with your chat room questions and reactions. So it's deeply appreciated, and I hope you will make us a regular habit here on Tamabi Televised. If it works here, it can work any episode we do. And we've got some wonderful people coming your way in the weeks ahead on this program All About Television. So thank each and every one of you that took the time today, this Monday afternoon, to be with us either by phone or chat room. The program is Kings of Con. You can find it at Comic-Con HQ on Spark Devices, Roku, and Apple TV, and hopefully a second season is coming soon. For more details about not only Kings of Con, but all the programs you can find on that channel, which is co-produced by Lionsgate, here's where you go on the web, www.comic-conhq.com. That's www.comic-hq.com. And don't forget, you can find Richard and Rob and all the rest of the crew on Supernatural every week in prime time on the CW. For more details online, you can go to CWTV.com. And don't forget, check your local listings for where Supernatural plays in your area on the CW TV station near you. Richard Spate Jr., Rob Bannock, thank you both very much for coming on. Hopefully a second season of Kings of Con coming your way. All the best with that. Hopefully many seasons to come, and also all the best with Supernatural. Congratulations on 12 great seasons on the CW, 13 coming up this fall, and many, many more ahead.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us. We look forward to coming back and talking about season two.
Thanks, Simon. We appreciate it.
You got it, Rob, anytime. All the greatest. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Richard Spate Jr., Ron Bennett, joining us live from Los Angeles. Again, thank you to all the people that joined us on both the phone line and the chat room reaction. We really appreciate including Allison from New York. Yes, I saw you, Allison, with that room. And thank you all for joining us. And keep tuning into our program. When we come back, we will be joined by the folks involved with TV One, both on the executive level and on their first new series of 2017, coming tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, The Game of Dating. The Tanner Virgil Programming at the network, D'Angela Proctor and showrunner Brian Spakovsky join us live from Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, East-West Connection, after we pause near the top of the hour for web identification. You are connected to www.blogtalkradio.com, where the 25 main listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your office sitting around talking movies with New York One News critic Neil Rosen and his crew. And they have a lot to talk about, of course, with the Oscar nominations that came out last week. Sitting around talking movies Tuesdays, various times, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's VTR Daily 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Tamabi Televised 90-day edition. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour, 36th Street here in the New York area. Welcome, or welcome back to the program All About Television. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. More great guests coming your way. If you have a question or comment for them, get on the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere to catch us across the country or around the globe right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have our chat room going still full blast. Simon Apple 04 my name. We welcome Skyler, and we welcome guest 664, 546, 517, and Creative Cookie 31215, all in the room. So use our room, Simon Apple 04 my name. You'll find our homepage, blogtalkradio.com, /televised, or use that number, 646-652-2906. TV One is about to get its original season of new programming underway. It happens tomorrow night with the premiere of The Game of Dating, hosted by Chris Rock's brother, Tony Rock. Joining us live from Washington, D.C., TV One's headquarters in an internet radio system, the Senior Vice President of Original Programming there, D'Angela Proctor. Hi, D'Angela. Great to have you with us.
Hi. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Very, very welcome. Thank you, D'Angela. And joining both of us, the showrunner on The Game of Dating, Brian Bukowski from Los Angeles. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Simon and everyone.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, D'Angela.
You got it. D'Angela, we'll start with you. Why are you kicking off your new year of originals with this program?
Oh, because it's a great show. It's a perfect blend of a dating show, a voyeuristic show, and comedy. So, you know, if we could have gotten it on sooner, we would have, because we believe in it. It's such a great and amazing show with the team A. Smith behind it, the production company A. Smith that we've worked with for years on Unsung and Unsung Hollywood. So you have a great team, a great concept, and a great host. It's genre busting. It is something that's completely unexpected of TV One, and that's what we wanted.
Brian, how does this bust the genre?
Well, it takes a dating show and blends it with a game show, which hasn't ever been done before in the sense that you're watching real people go on real dates, and we have three teams of people in the comforts of their home watching those real dates and then answering questions about those dates to win cash. So it's very unique in the sense that you get unfiltered opinions from people as they're watching the dates, and then they're ultimately predicting the outcome. They're multiple choice questions, so you'll see a segment from the date that's been shot, and a multiple choice question will pop up on the screen in their living room. They'll have a chance to debate it, and then they'll lock in their answer. If they get it right, they win cash, and then the team that wins the most cash wins $10,000 as well.
How did you find the contestants to go on the date?
Well, I'll take that. Basically, in any way you would imagine to find people, you would put up postings, you know, want to go on a dating show, want to, you know, meet someone new in your life. So what you see on the show, we shot 9 episodes. Each episode features 2 different dates, and those dates were with blind daters, guys and gals that we've set up for the first time, so they're meeting for the first time on camera, and then couples that have been dating upwards of 3 years. So people applied to be on the show, and not every date, I should say, blind date ended well. Some folks, you know, didn't hit it off. Most did, but you'll get to see when you tune in.
And, Brian, where did they go? Where were some of the places they went to?
Oh, gosh. These guys went everywhere from taking a wine safari where they got to interact with giraffes and zebras and drink wine at the same time. One couple went on a scavenger hunt down Hollywood Boulevard that ended in a surprise proposal. That was you got to tune in to see how that ends. We had a beach day full of some yoga. We had a cooking class, horseback riding. I mean, these are, you know, things that you would do if you went on a date, you know, anything and everything across the Los Angeles landscape.
D'Angelo, talk about getting Tony Rock on the program. It's not often you get the opportunity to work with Chris Rock's brother. I know he's done game shows before, not in a long while. What had him take the plunge and do this?
Well, I mean, first of all, we didn't hire Chris Rock's brother. We hired Tony Rock. He is an exceptional talent all on his own. He's been in the business for a long time. His comedy routines speak about relationships. He's very quick, very quick-witted, and he keeps us in stitches. So we hired someone that we knew would carry the show, add value to the show, and would be a great addition to talking about the dates. Like, you don't want somebody to just sit there and watch the dates along with the contestants and not have an opinion. He definitely has an opinion, and it's often comedic, and his timing is impeccable.
And I want to make very clear to everybody that Tony, who I've seen in performance, I've also saw his game show on VH1, which ran a long time ago. He's a wonderful talent. Very, very funny,
yes.
Very perceptive, good listener. Some people will have to criticize, and he is his own talent. So let's be clear about that. I mentioned Chris Rock's brother by association and not by the fact that it's not a downplay. I just want to make sure it's very clear to everybody. It is not a downplay or disempowering versus talent. The man is incredibly talented and just in any sort of environment.
Yeah, we agree. We agree with that for sure.
Mm-hmm. And just a true pleasure to work with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you do a show that involves both relationship and a game show format, what is the challenge for somebody like Tony, who the first time out it was a pure game show, in terms of dealing with the contestants, but also with the couples?
Yeah, he doesn't interact with the couples. That's the most important thing to note. He watches the dates just like the audience will watch. He's perfect for the show because he has such a great stance and opinion on dating. And he'll tell you he does it quite a bit. So, we just let him be him. We let him rip. And it turned out exceptionally well for us. Wouldn't you agree, Brian?
100%. I mean, ultimately, from a producing standpoint, I had to produce a dating show first. So we cast the show and found great, you know, couples that are existing in their relationships and some new singles that are looking to find love. And we went out and produced that show and we edited that material. And then Tony never saw the dates until they actually aired live into each of the living rooms that we were shooting in. And so he played the game in real time with the contestants. So he didn't even know the answers. So he is just an amazing talent. And then from the game show standpoint, it's really cut and dry. It's a very easy game to play along. Anyone at home will be able to watch these dates and play along in real time and get have a chance to answer the questions themselves. And they're simple questions. I mean, it's things like, you know, we had a date, for example, where a young lady accidentally, you know, spilled her drink on the guy. She got up to do a little twirl to show off her body, and, you know, she knocked over a champagne glass, and she hadn't even been, you know, and she knocked it over on him, and it was like, you know, we freeze the tape, and it's like, what does Rodney do at that moment? And you're looking at the previous footage that you've seen to try to determine how did this guy react in that situation.
Mm-hmm. The Game of Dating is TV1's first new original series of 2017, and it begins tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on that channel. And we've got the showrunner of that series live from Los Angeles, Brian Bukowski, and we have the senior vice president of performing at the network. That's D'Angelo Proctor. She joins us live from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Both with us live this half hour on tomorrow. We'll be televised. Sharon Applebaum, we'll be live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on this first of three episodes we are doing this week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, at this very hour. And if you have a question or a comment for our guest, give us a call. Use this number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name is welcome guest 457-719, Skylar CX, and Creative Cookie 31215, who loves the fact that we acknowledge the fans who tune in and use our phone and chat room to be in touch with our guests. Remember, coming up Wednesday on the program, my lead guest will be from 24 and 24 Legacy, that premieres after the Super Bowl on Fox, executive producer Manny Coto. And premiering that on Wednesday night, we have a show on PBS. It's a miniseries from Nature. It's called Spy in the Wild. It may be the most groundbreaking nature series in a long while. Why? Because you see the animals up close and personal using a very unusual technique where the animals think they're seeing themselves. I'm not kidding. And you'll hear about the process live from London when we have producers Philip Dalton and Matt Gordon. That's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow's Televised. And coming up a week from today, from the new Comedy Central series, Detroiters, executive producer and writer, Zach Kanin. D'Angelo, what is the outlook for TV1's original programming this year? What do you want to accomplish?
Oh, for 2017? Well, you know what?
Yes.
The year so far has been going well for us ratings-wise, so we want to just kind of ride that wave, and we want to make sure that our new entries into the programming lineup exceed our expectations. And we always want to make sure that we are servicing our audience across the board because we are a general entertainment network. We're not a niche as much of a niche network like some others. We are, in fact, a general entertainment network. So that means you can turn on Mondays and watch our True Crime and Justice series. We have many hours of great programming on Mondays there. We have the Ricky Smiley For Real family and workplace occupational docuseries with lots of humor and heart. We have some new entries that we're not, you know, ready to talk about today that will be a great companion to Ricky Smiley For Real. You know, we try to service our audience where they are, and we also like to definitely attract more people to the network, and we tend to do that with our tentpoles, like the NAACP Image Awards that premieres on February 11th. We just, like last night, we had the BMI Gospel Trailblazers Awards. So we like to have our tentpoles bring masses of people to the network, and then we hit them with promos for all of our great original content to make sure that they come back. We never want to push away our existing audience, but we also want to make sure that the programming is appealing to other people, and we take great pride in letting that audience know to come to us any given day.
Yeah. D'Angelo, last year, your network made a declaration, we are going to this year do our first scripted drama. Where are you at with that?
Oh, well, we just closed a writer's room, and we are just opening up a second writer's room. So we have at least two choices for our drama series, and that drama series will be announced in the upcoming weeks. So we are definitely premiering a drama series on TV One this year.
So to be clear, it looks like it could be definitely one and maybe more.
Definitely one, potentially more, but we'll be ready either way. We look for the announcement because we'll be announcing the series in about a week or so.
All right, look forward to that. And when you do, we would love to have the producers or the creators of the series on our program. So I want to make sure that we definitely are in the loop for that. Something else that TV One is also have to do this year is to expand the made-for-TV movies that you're doing, both the number and the subject matter. And one of the early entries this year is one called Media.
Yes.
Tell us about that and when that's coming out.
Well, Media comes out at the end of the month on hold on, I'm putting my grid in front of me. It premieres on February 25th at 8 p.m., February 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern, Saturday. So Media is the brainchild of the founder of Radio One, which is our parent company. So Ms. Hughes has been in the media business for 30-plus years. She launched Radio One, starting with one radio station here in D.C., and it has grown to 50-plus radio stations, publicly traded, eight or nine syndicated radio programs that reaches an additional 200-plus markets. We reach 85% of Black America. So that's a huge feat. For a young lady from Nebraska. So she has a lot of stories to tell and embellish upon from her history at Radio One. So Media is a movie that pits two media families against one another, and we watch the show to see who wins. Watch the movie to see who wins. It's an amazing cast starring Gary Dordan, Stephen Bishop, Brian White, Denise Boutte, Christy Ferris, and Pooch Hall. I mean, it's an amazing cast. So we're really looking forward to that entry.
Brian, your program is the latest in a set of game shows, relationship shows over the decades, where studio contestants have to react to what they see taped or filmed. I remember shows like Everybody's Talking with Lloyd Saxon on ABC back in the mid-late 1960s, or shows like Love Connection, or shows or other, you know, other programs along the line. And I'm curious, when you deal with a program where you have to have studio elements and silver tape elements you do in advance, what kind of schedule, what kind of workload do you deal with?
We are basically taping those dates in the field for anywhere between, you know, a week to 2 weeks, and then we spend about a month in editing, because it's a lot of – every show is going to feature about 8 questions, so we have to edit those 3-hour dates down to, you know, the content that is interesting and fun to watch. I mean, this is an entertainment show, as – D'Angela pointed out, it is a comedy show first. The things that happen on dates, we've all been on them at some point in our lives. We've also witnessed other people on dates, so, and we've heard their crazy stories as well. So, we definitely, you know, spent at least 2 months before we made it into the studio, and then, you know, when we started taping this stuff with Tony, where the game was actually played. And, we shot 9 episodes that are going to air, you know, starting this coming, you know, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah. Brian, what are you learning in this series about how good of good sports these couples are?
Well, first off, even though they knew that they were on a dating show and the cameras were tagging along, there was no one that – it's not a hidden camera show. Everyone knew that there were cameras, but people didn't it wasn't about being a good sport or not. These people were looking to see if they were going to find love potentially, or you know, that this would go on from one date to another date. Some people have gone on multiple dates since we shot the show. So we, you know, I would say they were all good sports because they were open to, you know, meeting someone new. And exploring that, you know, potential relationship. And like I said, we the things that people, no one held anything back. I think you will be surprised when you watch the show that everyone was authentically real, and what you see on camera were people discovering each other. And what's also great is then you see these watchers that are watching it with their unfiltered opinions, as we all are in life. You know, basically critiquing, you know, things down to one guy literally took his shoes off at a dance class, a salsa dancing class, and he was wearing watermelon socks, and he was an adult.
That could be a trend, you know. I've seen watermelon socks. That could be a trend. You never know.
He could be starting the trend, that's for sure. And no one told him to, hey, wear some watermelon socks today. I mean, our premiere episode tomorrow night, there's a gentleman that goes by the name of the Hustle King, which we did not know until he decided to introduce himself as the Hustle King to a former Disney Ice Princess. So they met, and, you know, he showed up for the date, and at one point during the date, literally whipped out a wad of cash that was $1 bills and started to make it rain.
You can't write.
You can't. You know, we had recently GSN's, the producers of Divided, Jay Beanstock, who works on The Apprentice with The Voice and so forth, and the same thing was like every show was, it turned out to be the same thing that every show, no matter what the situation was, or no matter who the studio contestants were, that every show was different, had its own sort of pace or its own sort of zeitgeist.
And also, we went into this show with the explicit instructions, don't intervene, let the dates be real, and sit back and watch them unfold. And we knew that the show would be successful if the dates turned out the way they did and the watcher teams that we cast. And I promise when you all tune in tomorrow night, everyone that's listening, go tell your friends and family, it is laugh out loud for 60 minutes.
Yep.
D'Angelo Proctor is TV One's Senior Vice President of Original Programming. Ryan Brakowski is the showrunner of The Game of Dating, and that program premieres tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on TV One on cable and satellite. They're both of us live from Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, respectively, this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Apple, have fun with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us. This is the program, three episodes we're doing this week, the program All About Television. This one wrapping up January 2017. We still have time for questions and comments. Get them in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04, and get 759 and 457 still in the room. Remember, coming up on Wednesday, episode 203 this week, Manny Cotto from 24 and 24 Legacy will be our lead guest, followed by Phil Dalton and Matt Gordon, producers live from London, A Spy in the Wild, coming on PBS's Nature series at many stations around the country this Wednesday night. And next Monday, our guest will be Zach Kamen. He's the executive producer and writer of Comedy Central's first new scripted series of the year, Detroiters, about some folks who are trying to make it in Car City, USA. Jane, how is doing getting ready for the Image Awards next month?
Oh, wow. You know, that's our biggest tentpole. It's always fun. And this year we're so looking forward to it because there are just so many great nominees this year that we just want to show some love to. And we're really excited, you know, that there's so many movies and television series. You know, typically, you know, it's cyclical. Like one year it'll be really heavy television, and the next year it may be heavy film. But this year, the TV and film offerings have just been stellar. So we are so looking forward to having a great night of entertainment and honoring people of color. We're looking forward to it.
Joseph Collins, the head of Punch TV, was out at the start of the program. I asked him this question, and I'll ask you also, D'Angelo. In the wake of the Oscars last year, we've seen all these organizations and projects come up. They're out to try to bring more people of color, women of color, into television. We for She, We Did It Together, the Women's Film Project with the Blacklist, Project Her, et cetera, et cetera. Has there been any thought about either TV One getting involved with any of these projects or doing something similar to try to expand the inclusiveness for people of color, especially African-American women and people of color?
I don't think TV One has to because, you know, we make a number of movies annually, and we definitely are very thoughtful about who we have to direct the movies to make sure that the person is right for the movie, not just blanket, we're going to hire a black person or we're going to hire a woman or we're going to hire a man. We take great care in making sure and interviewing and getting their takes on the script and talking about creative, talking about their DP. We go to great lengths to find the right person for the job, and we definitely give, you know, it's a black network. You know, it would be very difficult to have a all-black network with all-white directors. So we don't do that. But we also don't do all-black network with all-black directors. We've worked with, you know, with multicultural people before, but and we'll continue to do so. So I think for us, the key is to make sure that we give opportunities for the people who may not be staffed on broadcast TV or may not be staffed on these big Netflix and Amazon shows, that we are steadily mining the marketplace and the film festivals for new and fresh talent like Stella McGee, who directed Gene of the Joneses. We financed her first film. She now has an MGM movie, and she got agency representation out of it. She's the next, the next big thing. We've also, I just was in Sundance last week scouring the Sundance Film Festival for new talent. So for us, it's about giving fresh, new voices opportunities.
I'm sorry to say we have to wrap it up there. It's been a wonderful 90 minutes. I say I think the best 90 minutes we've done so far this year, and we've had some fantastic guests all month long, and I'm thrilled that we're able to wrap it up on this particular note. The Game of Dating, TV One's first and original series of 2017. You can catch it tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And be sure to check your local for TV One's available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details online, here's where you go, www.tvone.tv. That's www.tvone.tv. D'Angelo Proctor and Byron Rosky, thank you both very much for joining us. All the best with the series. D'Angelo, all the best with what TV One is coming through this year. I also want to mention that they are also involved with the American Black Film Festival and their actual made-for-TV movie writing contest. We'll be following that as well. And we're looking forward to hearing the announcement hopefully next week or two about the first scripted drama as well as media. And we'd love to have people from both projects on the show in the near future.
You know you always have an open-door policy with us.
Thank you, D'Angelo, and same on our end, too. Absolutely. And, Brian, thanks again for joining us. All the very best to both to you and all your gang at A-Smith as well. Great run with the series.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You got it.
Bye-bye.
Both of you, take care. D'Angelo Proctor, joining us live from Washington, D.C. Brian Burkowski joining us live from Los Angeles today on Tomorrow We Televise. Remember, coming up on Wednesday from 24 and 24 Legacy, executive producer Mae Cotto, and from PBS's new nature series, Spy in the Wild, coming Wednesday night, producers Philip Dole and Matt Gordon live from England. If you came in on the show late, want to catch up on an episode you missed, go to our homepage, boxofray.com/televised. Check out the podcast at iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thought about where TV's and where it's going? Be with us at boxofray.com/televised and also email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. However you communicate, we really appreciate it because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening, and especially for your participation today. We're back Wednesday with Manny Cotto and the folks from Spy in the Wild. That's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.